The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
With the Leaving Cert exams well underway, attention will soon turn to the next chapter of these students' lives, and that is third level. Now, we're used to hearing about the rush to find accommodation for the incoming university classes, but could we be facing a perfect storm of demand from students and also those who are returning to the office in the autumn? We're joined now by two people to discuss the state of the student accommodation market and to get some advice for parents and students alike on seeking out somewhere to stay for the new term. Marion Finnegan is Managing Director of Sherry Fitzgerald Estate Agents, and Lorna Fitzpatrick is President of the Union of Students in Ireland. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, Marion, we'll go to you first because we're talking about, as I say, the perfect storm. How much rental accommodation have you got on your books at the moment?
Unfortunately, not enough. I think what we've over the last 5 or 6 years been talking a lot about rental accommodation and the crisis that was there, and COVID brought a little bit of a little break from that conversation, and unfortunately I think it's come off the agenda a little bit. So if you were looking back 10-15 years ago, typically there'd be about 20,000 units available at any one time, 19,000-20,000 units available across the country. That fell down to about 3,000 about 18 months ago, and now it's slightly elevated, slightly more than that, but not significantly. The real position now is that the demand hasn't been as great over the last, since COVID broke, I suppose, over the last 15 months or so. And therefore, the conversation around rental inflation or the lack of accommodation hasn't been as strong. But the supply position has not significantly improved. Now, what's likely to happen, I think, over the summer and into September is the demand from both students and from the typical working population will increase, and that supply that is there will be soaked up pretty quickly. So I think we're coming back to the same old conversation we have every summer.
Yeah. Now, the only question I would have about student accommodation, besides the dedicated stuff, and we'll talk about that in a moment, are there, you know, people who never go through estate agents, never go to daft.ie or myhome.ie to put their properties on the market? They do it almost through word of mouth. You know, a gang of students have always rented this house near UCC or UCD or DCU or whatever. They've always done it, and it never goes into the marketplace. So you guys in the real estate business never hear about it, but it'll always be there.
Yeah, there's always a proportion of the marketplace that's rented through word of mouth, without a doubt. But for new students coming in, they typically go to the wider market, go on Daft, contact the university, etc. And those are dipping into quite a shallow pool. I think what's really, I suppose it's appropriate to say that when we had 20,000 units advertised for a rent at any particular time on Daft, those accommodations that were off market were equally a function of the overall marketplace. So we really just have a shallow pool that's available for anybody who's not in that inner circle now. And that's what's going to prove to be particularly challenging.
Mm. Can you point us to why this is happening? Because you'd imagine that the demand for accommodation is fairly constant, that, you know, the final years exit the student market and go off somewhere, maybe around the world or whatever, or else they move into private rented accommodation more appropriate to their new working roles. So you'd imagine all that accommodation then gets vacated and it's available for the freshers. So what is wrong with that kind of steady state argument?
Well, okay, first of all, the demand for accommodation is growing every year. More and more students are entering the marketplace. More and more our population is growing, and the demand for all forms of accommodation is expanding with every year. But the supply is not increasing at the same pace. So if we just look at the rental sector for a moment and not segregate it into student accommodation or otherwise, over the last 10 years, every year, about 30% of the people selling accommodation are investors exiting the marketplace because they are not feeling at the return that they would like to get is available to them in residential accommodation. And only about 10, 11, 12%, depending of the year, of purchasers are buying into the marketplace. So we are losing two properties for every one investor that comes in. So it's a market that's been depleted of stock. Now, two other entities emerged, particularly since 2012. One is private student accommodation that's purpose-built, and the other is the PRS sector, which is investing in providing private rental accommodation in a professional capacity. And both of those have supplied some accommodation in. Typically, the student accommodation is about 18,000 or so purpose-built student accommodation have been built over the last 7 or 8 years. And into the PRS sector, very significant funds have been invested in that area. But typically, they have either acquired standing stock that's already occupied or they're forward funding and committing to building accommodation. So neither of which have really solved the gap in terms of supply. So we have private investors leaving the marketplace and not being replaced, and the demand for rental accommodation growing with every year.
Now, the final point, Marion, is about the new rules about deposits and so on, which, you know, if the student agrees, they can actually pay much more than the law might ask them to pay. And you could imagine in a seller's market, the landlord says, well, yeah, I know the rules of that, but you can, you know, give me 3 months' rent or it's not yours. I'll find somebody who'll give it to me. I mean, no one can force a landlord to rent it to anybody.
No, and again, the problem we have is back to the same old issue. If there is a scarce resource of any product, and in this instance we're talking about accommodation, there's always those who will try and get the most out of that position. So what we need to do, and this is, you know, it's not rocket science, we've been saying it for so long, we need to look at the overall needs of accommodation in this country. We have currently a very focused approach towards first-time buyers, which is laudable. But there are other categories of purchasers or investors or renters that need accommodation. We need student accommodation, rental accommodation. We need accommodation to trade up to and trade down from. We need more than just first-time buyer focus. So we need a more broader approach to accommodation. We need to have very clear targets for each of these cohorts by county, not just this, you know, we need to be building 25,000 houses. What, why, where, and what type of accommodation do we need? All of those issues need to be addressed. It's really a matter of putting targets in place and trying to deliver to them. Now, we have had a setback, obviously, with construction activity slowing down over the last couple of years, but we still were behind the curve before COVID.
Okay. Any evidence of landlords pulling out of the market because of these new rules and saying, well, we're just not going to rent to students because, you know, the reputation of students may be ill-deserved, but, you know, the place will be trashed?
Not particularly, no. I mean, I think we are seeing such an exit of private investors, whether they were renting into the private sector, into student accommodation, they are just leaving in their tens of thousands every year, and we're not addressing it.
All right, Marion, thank you very much. Lorna Fitzpatrick, the President of the Union of Students in Ireland. Lorna, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's suddenly, you know, the Leaving Cert is on. We hear that the antigen testing in the various campuses is starting today. So there is a determination, Simon Harris told us the other day, that people will be definitely on campus from the beginning of the academic year. What are your researchers telling you about the accommodation crisis?
Well, I have to say I'd agree with an awful lot of what Marion has said there in terms of the accommodation crisis is something that we spoke about for years. And as she had said, there took a little bit of a pause, but we're very much back to the language of accommodation crisis and students and families being put under pressure trying to find suitable, affordable accommodation. Unfortunately, there aren't enough student beds. And that does mean that every summer, every September, there's always a flurry for accommodation, and unfortunately an awful lot of students and their families are placed under an extreme amount of financial pressure to be able to afford the accommodation. Like, and I know that the new rules that have came in relation to limiting the collection of deposits and rent in advance is something that we have welcomed, because up until now students could have been required to pay 3, 6, 9 months rent up front, which could have been anything up to €8,000. So it does help to make the accommodation more accessible in one way, but it doesn't solve the overarching issue around cost or availability. There simply just are not enough beds.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the on-campus accommodation, and there's more and more of that being created, although a lot of off-campus sort of student accommodation being built as well. The on-campus accommodation, I mean, people were normally required to at least pay half of the annual fee up front, you know, for a term, whatever. You pay €3,000 now and then you pay €3,000 after Christmas or whatever. Those people are easy enough to control. They may be private companies, but they're going to obey the rules. If the minister says the student can pay by the month, that's probably going to happen. And also they're well controlled and well policed and so on. So it's a different mm-hmm. kind of sector. What about the other kind of accommodation, which, you know, will not be policed, quite frankly?
Yeah, look, the bill and the measures, I suppose, like they need to ensure that there's no preferential treatment placed upon one over another. Like the big issue here is that access to education is becoming less and less accessible for people, just surely because of the costs associated with it. One of the biggest myths we have here is that we have free education or that we have free fees. We most definitely do not. The minimum is a €3,000 student contribution charge coupled with the accommodation costs, which, as we say, are rising exponentially year on year. So I think the main message has to be that there can't be preferential treatment placed over one over another based on their ability to be able to pay. They're able to pay their rent over the course of the year or the term of the lease or whatever it may be, and people are expected to do that. They sign up to that. That's perfectly fine. But the problem arises where one is being chosen over another because they have the money in the bank or they're able to take out the loan or whatever it may be. And that just really creates a tiered education system of those who can afford to can access it, and those who can't, well, tough luck.
Okay, now what's your advice to students and or their parents at this point? You know, the Leaving Cert is still underway. Accommodation is only slightly in the background for them at the moment, but it will loom large. What help can USI accommodation officers offer?
Yeah. So I suppose that, as you say, there is the opportunity to start thinking and looking into it at the moment. So thinking about the different types of accommodation that are available as early as possible to try and understand what you would like and what's ideal for you. Is it that on-campus accommodation? Is it the private market? Are you happy to share a twin room or do you want a single room to yourself? There's also the digs side of things, living in a family home maybe or in an owner-occupied accommodation. There's pros and cons to each one of those options. So I suppose it's important for people to know the difference and to know what they would like. And they can do that over the summer without having to sign into leases or any of those kind of things. But it's really just doing the homework, I suppose, and understanding the differences that are there. And then looking at maybe suitable locations. But I would be fearful of advising people to sign leases or pay deposits or anything like that, particularly with first years or those entering into third level until the CAO results come out. Because well, we all will hope that everybody gets what they choose for their first choice or whatever. That may not necessarily be the case, and you don't want people being stuck out of pocket, you know.
Yeah, the late results is not going to help any of this stuff. Marion, are you still listening to us here?
I am indeed.
Yeah. This one has come in to me, one of our News Talk listeners. Our daughter, like many others, spent her first year in college at home last year. We're now trying to get her accommodation in Dublin. We were asked to pay €10,000 upfront for student accommodation, scandalous in brackets, not including student fees. And if there's another lockdown, we're not entitled to anything back. Unfortunately, we do not have the option of travelling every day. It's infuriating. Can they do that? I mean, this is proper student accommodation designed for students. Asked to pay €10,000 up front and no refunds if there's a lockdown?
It does seem outrageous as such a suggestion. A lot of the purpose-built student accommodation was at the more expensive range, which again, now 10,000 up front is outrageous, but it was pitched at a certain level, which again does not address the needs of the ordinary everyday student. So what we need to do is look at probably a broader range of accommodation in different price categories. And again, it's the same problem that we have. There is simply not enough choice across the board.
I'm just wondering, under the and maybe Lorna can help me here, under these new rules announced by the minister, asked to pay €10,000 up front and get no refund if you're told go home.
Yeah, we've seen that happen time and time and time again last September, where students had been told that they were going to have an on-campus experience and they signed leases and so on. And then that didn't come to fruition and they were entitled to nothing back. The new rules should be in place for September and will prevent people from being required to do that. But as you say, there is also that line within it around if they're able to or willing to, then they can. But I would question that for sure. I think the timing is probably something to be considered, you know. if the act hasn't been, or it hasn't been legislated for just yet, it hasn't been implemented just yet, there's probably a loophole over the coming weeks until that's finalised. But my understanding is that it is due to be in place for September, which would prevent that from being a requirement as such. But it's completely outrageous, but unfortunately is more and more the norm.
All right. Well, look, thank you both very much for shedding light on the impending crisis in student accommodation. That's Marion Fitzpatrick, Managing Director of Sherry Fitzgerald, and Lorna Fitzpatrick, President of the Union of Students in Ireland.